trouble. Came a voice from the sky on that magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Little light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They cast the limits of imagination to the door, to the world, of another time.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Here, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! October 26th. And what is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts!
What the hell is a gigawatt?
How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here. I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
She's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're going to build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style? Besides, the stainless steel construction made the flux dispersal... Look out! This is truly amazing. A portable television studio.
Generate the 1.21 gigawatts.
21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
A bolt of lightning.
What'd you say?
A bolt of lightning.
What did I just say?
A bolt of lightning.
What'd you say?
A bolt of lightning.
Yeah. name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Welcome to Shaziz Mad Science. It's a Saturday morning. It's 8:27. Nice long intro. Oh my goodness. Well, the old great king Shaziz the Terrible has had a bunch of teeth yanked out of his skull. He did the back ones a while back, and now it's the front ones. So he's in a lot of pain. He was going to do the show, and just want to yak just a little bit. So far, we got Thomas Anderson, Larry Woods, and Mitko Romanoff. Sir Larry, Sir Mitko, and Sir Thomas. I think it's going to be a pretty good show. We've been yakking off the air and all that. Things are running smooth. I've got two computers running, so that ought to keep the IDJC computer running nice and cool. The sun's shining, it's a beautiful day, and I'm kind of happy about everything, and that I can help, but there's just one thing I'm not happy about. So I'm going to go right off into one more song, and this is dedicated. I just don't really know what to say. I think the song will say it all. Y'all take care. I'll be right back right after this 3-minute and 50-second song. I made a bunch of recordings of Shaziz. I got the doot de doot doot doot. Don't everybody talk at once. A little bit about virtual labs and together there's nothing we can't do together. Anyway, one of the things here, I guess we ought to bring in the rest of the group here. Say hello to Mitko, Sir Thomas, and Sir Larry. Good morning, guys.
Morning. Greetings.
Oh. Gotta play that one again here.
You did.
I knew I was going to have fun on this show here. I've been going through. I almost caught all of my insanity back, and and it's starting to run a lot smoother, and I'm enjoying. First chance I had to relax was that nice long intro. Let's see, we got. An hour and 25 minutes left. One of the things that's on my mind this morning is the power of healing. You've noticed some people had, things go wrong with them through their life, and then when they finally learn to relax or forgive or get a positive attitude, or just, you've seen people that looked old, and like, it even happened to me in the taxi cab and stuff like that. I learned I can't have that bad attitude and look young. When I finally realized that it's all an energy struggle and something that we really don't need, in a matter of 2 or 3 years, it was more like 4 years, I actually looked 10 years younger, and I felt 10 years younger. Pains left, my mind was clear, and I became obsessed with green energy and started studying on that every spare moment. Before, I just didn't have I didn't have the attention span to read. I'd just sit there and get bored with it real quick and walk away. Did I hear a cricket? I've heard that before. Yeah. But, I've seen amazing things through a little bit of forgiveness and everything. Why can't we all be friends? And the cool thing is, there's other things. I'm missing a few teeth in front. Shaziz, he may not feel too lucky right now, but I think he's lucky. He's going for a longer life. There's a deal called the halitopti virus or bacteria. That's where the word halitosis comes from. And it comes usually from decay. Well, a lot of people don't realize that when they got cavities and things going on, that decay is where your bad breath comes from. And it's in the roots, down inside your gums. It's in your gums. But this is the thing. Where does it go? Well, you swallow a lot of it. It's a very bad thing. You swallow it all day long.
Well, there's especially blood going up and down into your teeth, too. So it's actually going straight down into your bloodstream, some of it.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing. Now it gets into your bloodstream. It goes down and starts eating your heart valves. It gives you, it works on your memory as well. Long term, short term. And another thing, it gives you bone loss. And it takes a lot of your vitamins to keep your body up, and you're going to need a lot more sleep. So where did your energy go? Where did your relaxation go? Where did all this go? You may not feel too lucky right now, Shaziz, if you haven't passed out listening to the show. But I think you're lucky. Another thing that sits there and tears people down is the attitude, unforgiveness, negative emotions. It's all an energy struggle. All of that has to come from somewhere. The energy contained in the vein of a coffee cup, that little handle, that's called a vein for those who don't know. The energy contained in just the vein of a coffee cup can evaporate the world's oceans. We are beings made of energy. When we get into the negative, we burn our energy out, and we look to take our energies from other people. We take our energy through intimidation, interrogation, aloof, and poor me. And these energy struggles, you get somebody who's having a hard time in their marriage or something. If they're both trying to pull energy from each other, and they're both in the negative, burning it out, nobody wins. Because there ain't enough to pull. If you come home from work after a hard day, get rid of the negative energy. Go pick a couple of dandelions.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, hopefully they don't have kids in the middle there that they're actually draining all that energy from instead.
Oh, yeah, I see that a lot. And, the kids just, they're just playing and, they make a little bit of noise. Stop that! Or the kid decides to get into a radio and he's going to fix it. It's already broke, people. Get it through your brain. It's already broke. What are you doing? You're tearing that thing up. But you tear everything up. You're a problem child. And they say such negative things that break the innocence down that allows that kid to learn.
Stealing all their energy, basically.
You were just talking about. Psychologically, it tells them, oh, I can't touch that. Oh, I'm a bad kid. So they're in the negative, and that's the... That's pretty much the intimidation. The interrogator's the one that's like, he says, oh, Walmart clothes, huh? They tear somebody down to build themselves up.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the aloof. He always tries to make you think he knows more than he does to keep you strung along. Or maybe he does know and he's just going to string you with it because he wants your attention. These are all attention-getting things, but they drag the other person down. The poor me. Now, this is the funny one. The aloof and the poor me. Sorry, Jim. Not today. Matter of fact, I need to cut that off. Anyway, the poor me is like bad luck schlep rock on everybody's seen the Flintstones.
Woozy, woozy, wow, wow. Oh, my pain medication is, and my hemorrhoid medication is just tearing me up.
Now, you guys were all sitting at the table at school. You know, you were the cut-ups, and you're having a, you know, you're taking your straw, and you're putting peas in it, and you're shooting peas back and forth. Your stomach's sore from laughing. You're having a ball. Y'all are sharing and generating a lot of energy. That's what attracted Bad Luck Schleprock. And he comes over there, and next thing you know, I got to go wash my dog. You don't have a dog. Yeah, I do now. You know, and you're the last one at the table trying to be nice. You know, so, yeah, it's an energy drain. And you're trying to be polite, but you really want to leave. Why? Because this person is sucking your energy from you. And basically, once you get in the negative or your energy drops, it affects your health. It affects your mind, just like all other things. So the main deal, and I guess I'll get off the subject unless somebody else wants to interject, unforgiveness is a bad thing. It stays with you, and there's another word called that I call brood. To me, it's made up of two words. It's made up of breed and brew. And this is a science. So, mad science is great. You brew about it, and you brew about it. You grumble under your teeth, and you have conversations with people who aren't even there. And it brews. It grows. It breeds. And it's a vicious cycle, so I call it brooding. And it's not good. It's not good at all. It's bad for you. It tears down your health. Morning, Steve.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. You're not French.
Oh, no. It's good to understand you, enemy.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice. Since you've been gone, I know you've been through things and getting back up on your feet, and I'm celebrating and knowing good things are happening to you. I'm just so glad to hear you the few times that we've been able to chat. I know I've been busy and out of everything.
Well, sorry to interject, Muddy, but I know Shazza's is in a lot of pain at the minute.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, I share that pain because I've had 7 teeth myself removed.
Yeah.
I've had 6 crowns put in, and I have another 6 implants to go.
I remember you saying something about that. Oh, my goodness. I've been wishing for that. Oh, my goodness.
Kids, brush your teeth. Seriously, brush your teeth.
I do brush my teeth. I have. I've gotten so much fluoride now. Well, I'm going to get off of that.
Anyway, I just wanted to call in and say, in the years that I've known Shazitz, I've done God knows how many shows with him. I've never known him to miss a Saturday.
Yeah.
Even on his birthday, he had a birthday on air.
Well, I did one about 2 or 3 weeks ago for him, or about a month ago, and then I did a Knights of the Round Table for him the week after. But other than that, I know he wasn't feeling good then. I imagine it was a lot of tooth pain and all that stuff. And like I was talking about, that halitopti, I mean, it gets into your system and it just tears you down. So I'm really glad for
him. I had a 23-hour flight. Last Sunday, Saturday, with a golf ball in the side of my face.
Oh, my goodness.
That was not pleasant.
No.
And I know exactly where Shazza's is now, and I would like everybody to send him some positive thoughts, because he really needs them.
Yes, sir. Everybody that knows Shazza's under my voice, get on that, get on the Skype and just send him in so many blessings and lovings and boost them up. It's a good thing. It actually helps speed healing. Let them know you love them. I think love is the cure to so many things in this world.
You know, love is only a four-letter word. But the, as well, also is also.
I hear you. Here's just for the memory here. Yeah, listen to this. I don't know if y'all can hear that. We'll do it one more. I'll turn the volume up so y'all can hear it here.
Do-do-do-do-do, happy tune coming up.
It ain't mad science without Shaziz, bub. It just ain't mad science.
I specifically wanted to call in because I know Shaziz is in pain. And all the people supporting him will help him. Because he really does appreciate people that look out for him. There's not too many people in the world I actually like, because I'm a miserable git. But I do like Shaziz.
Well,
I can't say any better than that.
He's one of the only people that I know that when you look when he looks around the world and he sees things and he starts talking about it, the man, on occasion, and I imagine most of the time he's fighting tears, but I've seen him cry. I've seen him cry over things people just... A lot of people are so dead to things out here. Shaziz is so alive inside. He's got such a big heart. He'd bend over backwards. I don't know. You've heard him. You've heard him talking about the babies in the world and how they're not being fed. There should not be any starving babies in this world. There should not be any wars as far as that goes. And my opinion is, put them, you know, you've heard me say it before, put them all in a football stadium, all the leaders of the world that want to do war, put them all in a football stadium, let them battle it out while we sit in the bleachers, instead of sending us.
Didn't they try that in Hurricane Katrina?
Oh my goodness.
That didn't work out too well.
Oh yeah. And some of the supplies going down there, oh my goodness. That's bad. They get there and here's FEMA sitting there, guys with machine guns and full armament, like they're in the military, and just sending them all back. They did the same thing here in Texas when we had our wildfires here about 3 years ago. Whole volunteer fire departments came from towns and counties around, and they all got turned around and say, "Well, we're sorry, you didn't register, and we got to have you on the register, you know, so we can send you through. Other than that, then we can't do it." And they say, "Well, when's the next? Well, when can we? We'll register right now." He said, "Oh, you can't register right now." He said, "That the first one's over." He said, "Well, when can we register?" "The next one's in a week and a half." That's a true story.
Have you ever seen the film Brazil?
No, I
haven't.
Back
in the 80s, it was basically about a government gone mad with administration, and you had to wait 3 weeks for a plumber, and you had to apply in triplicate. And they had, I think it was Robert De Niro as a vigilante plumber.
Right, okay, yeah, I thought that sounded familiar.
because he didn't have the right forms, two people that didn't know what they were doing came and trashed his house.
Wow.
It sounds pretty much like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
But let's not digress into negative things. Let's talk about the positivity of Shaziz. Because, I mean, I did a lot of shows with Shaziz, and I had great fun. And we were angry, and we were sad, and we were happy, and we went through all sorts of mad stuff, every sort of mad idea that's on the planet. And we didn't discard it because it didn't fit within our views. We discussed it. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the big positive things that I get from Shaziz, and it's carried me away through some of my dark times to know that there are people in the world that will not automatically discard something because it's not within their knowledge or they're not going to get a budget to explore it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'd like to think of Shaziz as being a bit of a wild card, one of those people that will not take an answer because somebody says, "Because I say so."
Yeah, that's not a reason. That's a cop-out.
Larry, you there? Larry Woods, are you online?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Weren't you the other day telling me that you had lots of funny letters after your name?
Yes, sir.
And how many years did you study as an engineer before you actually started learning really appropriate things?
I worked my entire life as an engineer before I started learning appropriate things. It wasn't until about 3 or 4 years after I retired that my eyes got truly open to the fact that what I learned in school was only a very tiny part of reality. I've learned more in the past 5 years than I learned in all the 9 years that it took me to get my degree. The first year I spent learning how to not to party.
Well, Larry, as a highly educated person with a very long career in your field, is there a place for people with mad ideas that are not afraid to give it to the public?
There wasn't when I was working. I would have been drummed out of the business. In fact, I went on one job where we had to locate some ground wires, and the electronic equipment that we used to do it with would not find them. So I took two pieces of wire and doused them and was almost thrown off the job because I was using something that they were not familiar with. However, I went to every break and told them exactly how deep under the ground that it was, and never made a mistake.
With dowsing rods, you said?
Yes, sir, with dowsing rods.
That's amazing.
They had an entire bonding system around a central office that had brakes in it under the ground. And normally you can put a device called a tick tracer on it at the supply end and just follow that signal out, an audible signal on a device. And when the signal stops, there's a break. Well, there was so much ground wire under the ground and around this facility that the tick tracer just didn't stop buzzing. It showed that you had wire everywhere and that it was all connected. Well, it wasn't. So, yeah, the ancient technology, the things that really work, are not accepted.
Larry, where do you think we'd be if there weren't people in the world that were willing to discuss alternative ideas?
If there weren't, we would be back in the Stone Age.
Well, I couldn't say anything nicer about Shaziz than I know from personal experience that he will discuss any idea. He won't necessarily believe it, but he won't discard it because it's not on a certain criteria.
There are so many things that we've found in our research that don't follow electrical math. It's amazing. There's no reason why we should even be held into the math that we've been taught in school. Vortex math is better than we were taught in school.
Now, Larry, you're starting to annoy me with that because I've been studying that for a couple of weeks and I still don't know any more than when I started. But give me a few years and I'll be all right.
Yeah, vortex math is very subtle. It's very subtle and it takes everything back down to the very basics. But vortex math will describe physically. It's like learning how to do the origami stuff. Vortex math flattens that all out into a flat sheet of paper so that you can fold it to the proper shape.
I mean, Thomas, some of the research you've done, it stands by itself as well.
Right.
I mean, how would you feel if people that discussed weird and strange ideas that weren't on the current university curriculum were just taken out of the equation?
Yeah, I really don't know what to even say on that. I mean, we would already be probably at least colonizing our planets and, you know, digging for excess ore and whatnot in the asteroids that are out there if we weren't being so restrained, because people aren't willing to basically even entertain a new idea. So there's a certain level of I don't know, almost like a religious order that's risen up around Albert Einstein and his quote-unquote theories. And the truth is, if you do some digging, you find out a lot of them were not theories. They were just jokes that he spit out there, and people took it way too literally. They couldn't understand he had a sense of humor about things. So,
yeah,
you know.
Well, no offense intended, but the Americans don't really get irony.
Not at all.
Well, yeah, most don't. So
I'm a firm believer that everybody needs a basic background in what they're trying to do. Okay, if you're going to work with electricity, learn the basics that they will teach you in the schools, but don't be trapped by thinking that that's all there is to it, because it's not.
Right.
Learn why something operates, not how to make it work. Don't learn, put the black wire on the dark screw and the white wire on the light screw. Learn why that electricity travels through that device.
Right. Well, that's like, you know, the thing that Shaziz has been talking about with the magnetism and, the electricity and the electron. I mean, if we had taken the same attitude about electricity and the electron, that with magnetism, we wouldn't have electromagnets now. Because basically what he's pointing out is that what they're calling electricity is just, you know, the electron itself and its movement. And we've already found that, you know, through experimentation and whatnot, that iron or lodestone is not the only magnet that's available. You know, there's all kinds of magnets available, which means that magnetism itself is not what we thought originally. It's not that chunk of metal. It's something else. And actually, the more you dig and look, I don't know if any of you have looked at the orbital shape for electron fields, but they actually, if you take a look at them, they're not just little spheres bumping around against each other. They actually have a form that interlocks with each other like jigsaw puzzle pieces. So, you know, you can actually make these either bumbling, kind of disjointed-looking configurations of atoms, or you can actually make these very nice, neat crystalline forms. And the crystalline formations that they're using through electricity and heat and pressure for neodymium magnets actually works much better than just melting the stuff down and letting it flow together when it comes to producing a magnetic field. So some of this needs to, you know, really be investigated when it comes to electricity. You know, we found that basically running higher voltages and higher frequencies causes issues with some of the stuff we're working with, but it may very well be that we're not hitting a high enough frequency. When you hit a high enough frequency, it's kind of like rolling down the road with square wheels. If you roll down the road with square wheels, the faster you run, the rougher the ride gets until you hit a certain point, then it suddenly gets completely smooth.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like running on your tiptoes. You get to moving along
right.
Faster and doesn't take as much energy to get that speed up. It doesn't take as much energy increase.
Right. And, I mean, this whole concept that he's working with the argon and the copper and whatnot, that might just be that he's experienced through some accident while he was, you know, playing around with the stuff he's been working with and noticed an anomaly. There was actually that tipping point where it went from the rough to smooth. I mean, the speed in the air, when you're flying through the air, you experience the same thing where you hit this period where basically it's just like you're on glass all of a sudden. When you're riding a motorcycle down salt flats, it's really rough until you hit that point, and then all of a sudden it's just like at that right speed, all of a sudden it's just like the road is made out of smooth glass because you're not experiencing any of those bumps that you would normally at the lower speed. So,
Thomas, I met a guy back in Holland in the 90s that broke the world speed record on a 50 cubic centimeter engine on the salt flat. I think it was something like 132 miles an hour from a 50cc engine. And that was back in, I think, 1963. And when he was explaining to me, he said up until about 100 miles an hour, it was literally like a rock slide. But then suddenly it smoothed out.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, he said, it was like a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And once
exactly.
You got up to a certain velocity, you were flying, literally. And they had to put a cockpit around the motorcycle, like an aeroplane cockpit, to be able to get to that speed. But he said there came a point where it stopped bumping and it was glass smooth.
Right.
And I think that carries through to everything. You get to a certain frequency and harmonics almost, like an opera singer breaking a wine glass, just with the tone of the voice.
Right, because they're basically pumping more and more energy into the glass, and eventually the glass reaches a point where it can't, it can't handle anymore. Instead of the waves actually counting, being chaotic enough that they're actually counteracting each other and cancelling each other out in the crystal.
I mean, compared to most of you guys, the experiments I've done are literally breaking rocks. But one of the most interesting things that I've done is harmonics with water through a small little 5-watt speaker underneath of like a Dixie cup full of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you change the different types of fluid, if you use like oil of viscosity of like 10-watt 40, or if you use like salt water, each different liquid has a different viscosity in it, has a different frequency. And when you make it dark and change shape, I get the feeling that you're getting to the right frequency to have the maximum energy input into it.
Right.
But obviously that's not very practical, because you can't run a house off it, you can't run a car off it, and you're certainly not going to fly with it.
Well, this is the thing, though. I mean, you can't run a house or run a car off a log burning in a campfire either, but, you know, that led to the combustion engine. That led to the gas-powered generator, you know. Without those things, we would never have been able to achieve those, the things that we have now. Everything's this progression of steps. So, yeah. And you know what they say about a long journey. Every journey starts with the first step. You gotta take...
I don't like the idea that... I was listening to a guy in a restaurant two nights ago saying, clever people don't spend much time with stupid people. And I thought that was a bit arrogant.
Condescending.
Because, yeah. I mean, for my mind, we're all on a journey, and some people are, you know, three quarters of the way down the track, some of us are halfway down the track, and it's all about knowledge. And just because somebody's on that journey a little bit further than you, it doesn't mean to say they're any better than you. It just means they got a head start.
Right. Well, that's the thing, too, is that you say down the track, but the track loops. So you are running alongside people that just started running, even though you've made several laps, maybe, you know, and you're hitting your stride while they're still struggling to get their wind up and everything, you know.
But do you think the restriction of knowledge that's inherent in society, and I've no doubt that it's quite clearly there, means that you're doing laps instead of taking a longer journey?
Well, I don't really think that you can get away from doing laps. The more you expand the world, the bigger the laps will get. But, you know, the universe is infinite for the most part, and infinite concepts basically have to loop back into themselves in order to have room to exist.
Fair enough. I mean, the amount of times when I thought I'd actually understood something and then learned that there's actually more to it.
Well, you're making another lap when you do that. That's the thing. You're coming back and revisiting something and finding more to it. It's like watching a movie and seeing something you didn't see before, you know?
Well, it's like a pit stop where you get better tires that have more wear and tear, and you can go further before you have to come back and change it.
Right, right.
But, you know, I don't like this idea that there's stupid people in the world. There's people with different criteria and interests and what's relevant to their life.
I've always kind of looked at stupid as being somebody who refuses to learn. Ignorance is fine. Ignorance means you haven't achieved something and you still have potential to get it. Stupidity is, you know, either knowing something and refusing to admit that it's the truth, or refusing to learn something because you're afraid of what it might actually mean to your life. You know, fear is basically the mind killer.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then that's just pretty much all I can see is basically stupidity is a side effect of fear. So,
yeah.
I've heard a couple of people recently call Shaziz an idiot, called him stupid. And I'm wondering if it's the fact that open to all concepts that he proves is wrong himself. Not because somebody says so.
Right. Just because my research doesn't verify his research doesn't mean that his research is wrong.
It does if you're getting a budget.
Yeah.
Depends. That's all perspective, man.
There's reasons why you're getting different results. You just may not found out what it is yet. And when you bring it all together, then you got more knowledge.
Shaziz always said,
you know, well, Thomas Anderson, man, he's got his talents. Steve, he's got his talents. Larry, he's got his talents. And whoever was on the show, and he said, but if we put them all together, there's nothing we cannot accomplish. Together.
That's right.
I've been chatting with Larry the last couple of weeks, and I'm really excited about the research he's doing, because I've dedicated my research to growing food, but I need an energy source, and without that I can't carry on, and I don't have the education and I don't have the inclination to spend the next 10 years studying electronics to find out how to get it to work. But if we combine our efforts together, we can solve a lot of problems.
I agree.
Well, as I say, even if you're not figuring something new out, you could be doing something basically to figure out a way to use some new idea that, you know, the people who created, discovered the idea or came up with the idea haven't conceived of using it for. I mean, they do have that whole process, and unfortunately they kind of pushed it to its limit, where basically people who work on theory won't even think about application, and those who work on application won't even think about theory, and I think that's a mistake. I mean, it goes back to the saying that, you know, you're a human being. You should be able to do all these different things. You're not an insect. Specialization is for insects. That doesn't mean that you can't be better at one thing than another. It just means that you should be well-rounded and still have the willingness to learn and develop other techniques that go outside whatever it is you're best at, you know.
Well, let me pick something direct. Let's talk about X-Men, the movie. Oh, the producers, they know how to produce it. Then there's the actors, they know how to act. Then there's the stunt people, they know how to do the stunts and look like the other guy. And then there's the special effects. Oh, my goodness. And then there's the editor. And then there's the key grips and all the people that operate everything else out there, and the people that know how to enhance the video. And then there's the salesman. Then there's the PR guys. And without all of them together, you could make something really great and say that PR man ain't out there or the advertising and nobody knows it's out there, so it doesn't make a boom blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all of it together. Everybody's got to have their special talents. And if you really want to make it, I'd say, I've heard it many times, you know, if you want to become a specialist, you'll make more. I mean, what's the difference between a dentist and orthodontist? About $75,000 a year, you know, or more. That's the difference. You know, when I started one of my first lawn companies there, I didn't want to just mow lawns. I wanted to show my skill, man. I was doing lawn sculpt. And one person misunderstood what a lawn sculpt was. And he said, I want happy birthday out here. And, you know, can you make them kind of, you know, can you raise it here on one side and then over here like this to make the letters stand out more? I said, lady, he said, I have got a fantastic weed eater, and I am skilled with it. I will mow this thing. I will put some diamond patterns in this thing. I will do a full lawn sculpt, and I'll still leave your happy birthday in there. I will make it so beautiful. And I measured it out, and I did. I got $120 for doing a corner curved lawn that, you know, that you know, kind of went uphill from the corner, and it was just rounded out nice. Oh, man, it was beautiful. I went by every day and watched it grow out. And then she says, okay, the birthday is over. You can just go ahead and do a regular mow. I said, ma'am, I don't do regular mows. I didn't want to see it go. It was too pretty. But she said, I'll give you $60. I said, okay, I'll get to it tomorrow. Today I'm kind of booked, and if I can't get done tomorrow, we'll get it the next day. She said, okay. You know, I went by 2 days later and got it. It was too early.
$60, eh? Right.
It was too early. Yeah, I kept watching other lawn crews wanting to go by and get it, but she kept me because I did such a nice job. But I tell you what, I loved it, and it killed me to mow it. It really did. But I was stupid enough not to take a picture of it.
That you chose not to specialize and just be a lawn care guy that just goes by and, you know, knocks it down and then leaves.
Towards the end of the season, everything stops growing. You mow anything you can get your hands on. So, mm-hmm.
But not being a specialist definitely helps. That's, you know, that's not to say that if you're better at something than everybody else in the group, that you shouldn't go ahead. You know, if you're working on a project with them, then do that thing you're good at so that they can do the things that they're good at, and you get the best result out of whatever it is you're working on.
Right.
You know, don't ignore and, you know, refuse to use the tools available or at hand. So
exactly.
And be a craftsman. Exactly. Don't just be a worker.
Mm-hmm. Well, should it, Muddy, what this says to me...
Mumble again? I'm sorry,
Muddy. What that says to me... is you don't have to kill people to be all you can be.
Exactly.
Yeah, be all that you can. Nice slogan there. I hear you. Yeah, you don't have to kill people. Doggone, I wish... No, but I don't think killing's right no matter what. Now, if somebody attacks you, if you got a good defense, hey, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. But if you're on the offense, you're probably doing the wrong thing. Unless you know that if you can't get them now, they're going to get you later and there's no way to stop it. But I don't think... I hate killing. I really do. I think if we could all just get along, that'd be it. You know? Man.
Well, I did know a 96-year-old woman whose husband was in Nagasaki when they dropped the bomb. He was a doctor in World War II. And despite all of that, she loved all creatures great and small. But she kept a bucket of bleach next to the window, a squirrel.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know. She just didn't like squirrels for some reason.
I remember there was a group of Chinese people, and they were, Japanese people, and they were running all over New York with their cameras, and they were taking in all the sights. And down on the ground, you know, you can't see the Empire State Building. So they were, you know, it's kind of hard to tell where it's at. Oh, did I end my sentence in a preposition? I didn't mean to. But anyway, it's kind of hard to tell where the Empire State Building is. So they walked up to this bag lady and said, excuse me, could you please tell us where the Empire State Building is? She turned and looked at him, gave him a sneer and says, well, you found Pearl Harbor, didn't you?
Boo hiss.
Oh, that's terrible. But it's not. It's probably not too far from the truth. The sad thing is people are taught.
That's the mental state of people in general. Yeah.
Yeah.
They look for any difference that they can basically find in order to make themselves and then downtrodden that difference in order to make themselves feel better about their lack of value that they see in themselves.
Yeah, the reality of that is basically it's just like, you know, like me going to another country. Oh, you killed my parents. No, I didn't do anything. I don't even know your parents. I don't even know your kids. I don't know this. How can I hate them if I don't know them?
Yeah.
It was somebody else sent them, not me.
Your tax is paid for this and that and the other thing. No, understand what you just basically said is the mugger that knocked me down in the street and took my wallet from me, went out and bought a gun and shot your family. How was that my fault?
Right.
Okay. I didn't taxes those people. I didn't say it was okay for them to use it for that, you know?
Yeah, so some 50, 60 years later, man, these guys, you know, some of them wasn't even born before there. How can you blame them? You can't, you know.
In fairness, Muddy, I grew up feeling a national pride in hating the French. Where I was born in England, in Kent, is about 30 miles from France, just across the other side of the English Channel. And they've got better food, they've got better roads, they've got better trains, they have a sense of fashion, they've got better wine. Why wouldn't we be jealous? I mean, you go to the south of France, and it's warm and it's sunny. You go to Scunthorpe, and it's cold and it's miserable. I mean, you can't but hate the French. They've got everything that we want.
Depends on what time of year where you want to live, right?
Yeah, but they don't have a monarchy. But back to the point, I mean, Chaziz is not here, and I'd like to say that I miss him. I mean, I've had my own problems, I've had to work through it, and I feel like I've let him down over the last 3 or 4 months because I haven't been around for him when he needs it. But today I'm here for Chaziz.
I hear you.
That's good to hear.
To every lesson there's a price. The more of a price you pay, the better you learn the lesson. That's why you were telling me to brush my teeth. But you've been through it, and right now I know... The lessons that you learn, you should never, even though you paid a price for them, and maybe it wasn't a good thing that you learned the lesson about, but that lesson is now worth gold because you can share it with somebody. And to tell somebody, yeah, you lost your whole family, yeah, I know how you feel. You know what? No, you don't. You haven't paid the price. You haven't been there. You didn't lose. But somebody that did could actually say that. And to that, I'll tell you what, you know, never regret the lessons that you've made, even from your mistakes. You paid the price. It's now yours. Share it. Do something good with it.
Right.
Yeah.
There was a movie called World's End.
World's End?
It was by, the guys that did Shaun of the Dead. And these aliens have turned up in this little Welsh village and decided that they're going to take over the planet. And one of the statements that he used was, to human is to err, so err. I couldn't put the human race any better than that. How could you describe them?
That's it. Homer Simpson, boo.
We're deliberately limited. There are people out there that want us to be dumb and live in trailer parks because that's where they want us to be. And unfortunately, it's not working. Fortunately for us, unfortunately for them. Because there's a lot of people out there that do not accept because I say so, because you got funny letters after your name. No offense intended, Larry.
I agree totally. Those funny letters embarrass me.
They shouldn't embarrass you. It's a lot of hard work, and you probably earned it and deserved it. But at the same point, I do not accept. I didn't accept from the age of 10 the answer because I say so. Because I used to say, so you don't know either.
Yep, my big question in school was why.
Yeah, that is what people fear the most. Because when you say why, they have to explain it in a term that you understand.
Yeah, when I was taking robotics and everything, I had to go through electronic service technology. We started off soldering, then we had to learn up, you know, about resistance, and then we learned about, you know, the Ohm's law, and we got into semiconductor devices. And I was so excited. I wanted to know how it did it. Well, they talked about the depletion region between the PN junction and all of that, and how when it gets all clogged up, it's got too many electrons and it flows over. I wanted to know more, though. And I felt like I got ripped off. how do these electrons build up there? And how do they wind up, you know, and pouring over there? I finally just had to kind of just visualize it like, you know, water. It gets up to the end, and it gets up just so high. After it gets past the top of this wall or dam, then it starts flowing. And if you put more at it, it flows faster. I could see that. But, you know, how does, when you get to a transistor, you go to the base of the transistor, which is actually the control. So say you got a potential of, a voltage across the collector all the way down to the emitter, which is the negative, which is your supply of electrons. And then you got this base. Now this is all a semiconductor device, so you put just a little bit of signal on there and it flows through. I can understand it helps feed the depletion region. But why didn't the other two terminals feed that depletion region? How does it work? How did they do that? I can't put that into a visualization without making some kind of a valve or gateway. There's no moving parts in the transistor. So, you know, I felt like I got ripped off.
I had an epiphany about 3 years ago. I watched a YouTube video, and there was a guy saying that a thermometer is not a parameter that deals with heat. It's an indication of the level of energy. And it's such a basic, simple concept that it wrecked my head for about 2 weeks. And I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. But what happens when you put an electrical current through copper wire? It gets hot.
You put it through steel wire, it gets hotter.
Yeah.
Because it's got more resistance. But yeah, there's resistance there. AC doesn't heat up as much, but yeah, the DC, yeah, to me, it's the energy of stripping that electron away from where it wants to be and go to another place, or dragging it there, you know?
The reason that the DC heats up is because we're not allowing it to do what it can do because of the configuration of existing coils.
Yeah, you're taking that electron down a long way from home. He doesn't want to go way away from home. AC says he just going around the block and coming back and going around the block and coming back, right?
Right. Well, with DC current, too, in coils, you're basically, your traditional coil, as you're winding your way through that coil, when that electrical charge reaches the second coil, it's actually putting the brakes on the electrical current trying to come through the first coil, now following it.
Exactly. It's in opposition.
Yep. And it continues this. It keeps escalating all the way down until you hit the very end.
I like that.
So,
well, if heat is energy, a nuclear reactor is basically a dirty, great big kettle.
Designed to fail.
Probably, yeah. But, I mean, it gives you an insight into a lot of things that you might not understand without such a simple explanation. Is it that simple? Is heat energy?
I was going to say, heat has always, to me, been basically just a measure of agitation.
Yeah.
How fast and how angry are those atoms shaking around? Because if you don't have that, you can't have heat if you don't have matter. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
In fact, the less matter you have, the colder things get, meaning the lower the energy rating that you can measure. So
yeah, you put water through a pipe. And, you know, that pipe gets kind of cold. It's nice that it flows and goes through. But you start putting it through very fast, it starts getting hot.
Right. Well, it's only getting cold, though, too, because the pipe has more energy than the water does, because the water is colder than the pipe. So right. It's going to actually transfer the heat, the agitated energy, into the water and warm it up, causing it to vibrate around more until it hits a point of equilibrium. So
a couple of years ago, I saw a YouTube video where they were talking about using pistons with holes drilled in them to boil water, because the friction of the piston moving in and out with the holes drilled in it basically agitated the molecules of water into instant heat. Now, the average kettle is about 3 kilowatts. You could potentially run this off a Stirling engine. Why are we using 3 kilowatts to boil water when you can use a piston with holes drilled in it?
Right.
Right.
It's because everything is built deliberately inefficient, so we use huge resources unnecessarily, because everything is set up to pay an electricity company. And I've no doubt about that at all whatsoever.
Well, it's harder to basically make people pay more for something than it is to get them to pay more for more, you know? That's why they're pushing for the whole global warming thing and a number of other things. Whether those things are legitimate concerns or not, their only reason for promoting that stuff is a selfish gain where they feel that they can basically, you know, get people to pay more for less. Because then they can work less and, you know, make more.
Well, you know that Al Gore has a carbon exchange company with a partner. And do you know what his partner's name is?
Huh.
Morgan?
Blood.
Blood.
The company is called Blood and Gore. Like, seriously.
Wow.
And these are the people that have built a carbon credit exchange, like a stock exchange for trading carbon emissions, and it's called Blood and Gore. And these people expect us to take them seriously. The inconvenient truth is that if Al Gore, his predictions in his movie were true, he'd need a submarine to get into the car park of his $4 million condo that he bought in San Francisco. Because if his predictions of water level rises were correct, he wouldn't be able to drive in there with a car, not without an Aqualung. So let's start looking at the actual fact and stop believing it because I say so. Sort of attitude.
Right.
You know, on one hand they're saying, oh well, you know, if we don't spend every single penny that people have earned on the entire planet for the next 100 years, we won't be able to reduce the temperature by 1 degree. When they ship all the infrastructure out to Asia, where they've increased their carbon emissions, if that's even relative, by 1500% in the last 5 years. While in Australia, Europe and America, they're shutting down all of the highly filtered power stations that scrub all of the crap out of the air.
Yep.
I'm in Singapore. In the last couple of years, they're listening. It's when there's big forest fires in Indonesia, Malaysia, parts of Asia, and all the smog and particulate end up coming over Singapore. And it got to the stage where it was like Tokyo in the 80s. Everybody was walking about in surgical masks because they couldn't breathe the air. Now, this is the consequence of carbon credit that they've shipped all of the manufacturing into a part of the world where they give two fingers to the whole concept of global warming. They don't care. It's just, it's insane. It's time people woke up and started looking at what's going on in the world. Europe and America is dead. Now it's the century of Asia. And I'm in it. And I can see it happening. And I'm talking to people, business people, all sorts of different manufacturers. There's a lot of different people around here that are quite happy to talk to you about it. And they're laughing at the West. They're saying, you boys are banjack. You know, your day's gone. It's our turn now. And it's not by accident. This is by plan and by design. And I saw this happening in the early noughties when I worked for an American company and they were offshoring all their jobs because of taxes and the rest of it. And it's just a joke.
It's not economically sound to open a business in the United States anymore unless it's a service business. Yep.
You mean something that produces nothing of any value?
Absolutely. I'll wash your car, period.
Well, you know, they talk about the intelligent economy. You know, this, you know, smart economy. Well, what's smart about producing nothing you can eat that won't give you any shelter, that won't provide you with energy? Because what do you produce for yourself?
The problem is that the production we have is not high enough for the amount of consumption.
No.
And it's because of what Larry said, it's not economically feasible anymore, which, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with what the world is buying. It has more to do with the fact that we're wasting too much of our trust in the duopoly that we have going on here with the government and our banking system.
Right.
You know,
let's make money
out of nothing, you know, and then charge the world for the privilege of using it. Oh, we need more money. Let's make more money then. Which, you know, what we need more money is the answer to the question coming from the government. Hey, we've got a war that we're getting ready to do. We need more money. Oh, we need more money. Sure, let me oblige you there. You know, and meanwhile, while we struggle and choke these people out that are, you know, relying on us to do the right thing, and losing their homes and whatnot, guess who gets the homes? Guess who gets the lands?
Right.
You know, guess where it all funnels back to. The person who basically made money out of nothing. They didn't have to put anything up as collateral. I mean, you can't go to the Federal Reserve with your dollars and demand gold or silver or corn or hay or anything. There's no valuable stock there at all.
Yeah, it's more, you know, like my external wood stove that I made. I thought, oh, wow, I can make a little bit more room in this little cubby hole that I live in. So I built a metal structure outside. I put a 55-gallon drum, turned it into a wood stove. I had the flue go out straight up and up my antenna tower, and I brought the other one through a hole in the wall, and I put a blower on it. And you know what? That thing leaks so bad. If I'd have had to use two cords of wood, it would have took me 16 cords of wood to get through the winter. But I used it until I could get the doggone thing back inside, and I burned up half my wood in like 2 weeks while I was getting everything all set up inside here. And, you know, I started a YouTube video on it. And, yeah, it was going to be a great science thing. Show, yeah, hey, you can save the room and do all. I just didn't design it right, and there was no going back at the time. It was just cold and wrong, you know. So, yeah, it's just.
Well, you should. I hope you put all that up so people actually could see what you were doing, because I'm sure anybody who was, you know, already thinking of that, you might have saved them some mistakes too along the way.
Oh yeah, I made some comments down the bottom. See, here's what the deal. I took a lot of the footage ahead, you know, as I was doing it, so I could get it done quick, and then I just edited them out. I put the first one up there showing how it was built, and had a few people ask, and I basically put a bunch of comments down there. I said it was a waste of time. Sorry, don't do it. And there wasn't no sense in putting more video up there of something that failed, so I didn't. So I just basically, I should take that down. I should take
it
down.
And finish putting the video all up and show the, you know, the mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
Eventually, and just leave a note there that eventually I may revisit this and try to correct any of this if anybody basically tries this and, you know, sees the mistakes that I've made and makes adjustments and corrections before it becomes too late for them, like it was for me, then, well, you know, post a link in here. So let's see how, you know, it's done right after, you know, using my mistakes to make sure you got it right that you're trying. You know,
and after studying, what I'd really like is a rocket stove mass heater. You know what I'm talking about? The rocket stove mass. Okay, the rocket stove, if you take, just bare bones without all the extra stuff, if you take a pipe and you stick some long wood down in it and you light the end, and the other side's got such an updraft that it sucks air down that pipe that you feed the wood to. It burns it, and it burns it hotter, and it burns it very efficient, and all that pipe going up in the other chamber is where it bleeds off. And what I was going to do is have it go around the room and have it through some vermiculite and a little bit of cob, and it's such a wide mass that it doesn't get hot. You can sleep on it, you can use it to put things on, put blankets, pillows, whatever, but it will heat your house, and you use about one quarter of the wood that you normally would to heat your house. Yeah, go ahead, bud.
The principle of that is a wood gasification stove. So you're not actually burning the wood. You're burning the gases that come off of the wood when you subject it to high temperature.
Right, because you're feeding it with enough oxygen to get it to burn hot enough that it heats the wood right behind where it's burning, and all the gas is coming off, and the more oxygen, and it burns hotter, more efficiency. Without the gasification and burning the gases, you're only getting about a third of what you can get out of your wood.
Well, you know, the Victorians use that for heating their hothouse.
Yeah, and the best thing is, see, it doesn't put off a lot of smoke either.
No. I mean, pretty much, it's a very efficient way of doing it compared to just burning wood.
I got to see how you're talking about heating a hot tub. That's what I want to see. We'll go right through that. I'll make a project on that.
It's got a Stirling engine that's pumping a piston with water running through that piston. It's hosing the piston, and it's smashing against each other, those water molecules. They're going to heat up very rapidly.
Yeah.
And particularly in Singapore, where you've got extreme high sunlight, sun levels, you could probably use a magnifying glass or a Fresnel lens on the end of the Stirling engine to get it rotating fast enough to heat water quick enough for an outside bath.
Right.
Bearing in mind the ambient temperature is between sort of 30 to 36 degrees already.
I'd go to parabolic trough, because it takes the sun, whether it's east or west, no tracking, puts it all on that thin pipe. I mean, on that narrow pipe, it's maybe about a foot, I'm sorry, maybe about an inch wide. And it's got more surface area to catch up rather than one spot. And you can collect a lot more on a trough. And it really is. It may be no bigger than two couches in your living room, sitting outside with the east and the west, no problem.
I'll say Rohoff actually did quite a bit of video work on that. So
yes,
anybody
who
looks at green power science, you can look up the differences between moving from one to the other.
And he ran steam engines off it too.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's free. You can run a steam engine, generate some electricity. Go for it, man. Or just take the heat and run it in there.
We're talking mad science.
Yeah, we're back to science. And basically, you know, it's kind of like that, what I always bring up there is basically the black hose on the ground and the compost pile. 160-degree water for over 3 months, and you can turn it, add some more coffee grounds and more to it, and it goes right through the same thing all over again. That's free. You can heat the house with it going into a radiator. You've just got a small water pump and insulate your lines coming in and back, you know, both ways. That's a real small heater, and it blows some hot air.
Oh, do you remember, Muddy, about 2 years ago, I was talking about the beer can heating system, the solar cans.
Yeah, the pop can really solar solar heaters.
I'm now in the environment. I'm, 160 miles from the equator.
Wow.
I need to start drinking more cans of beer.
Seriously, it does the body good.
I'm dedicated to this cause. Now, I need to drink probably about 160 cans of beer. And I'm never going to have to heat water again to wash any dishes.
160 cans of beer in what time period?
Well, as quickly as possible.
I'm sure you won't have a lack of help if you offer free beer.
The problem is in Singapore, beer is extremely expensive. A lot of government tax. It's the equivalent of $10, which I think is $1.2 to the Singapore dollar.
Well, you know how to make beer.
Is there any tax on canned air?
Well, you know how to make beer there, Steve.
Well, look, but I don't know how to make the aluminum cans that they come in.
Oh, well, at least you ain't got to buy it.
So buy aluminum cans of something else that you want to buy, and, you know, that cost a lot less, and use them. I mean, I am pretty sure the sun does not care what was in that can before you turned it into that heater.
You know what?
So it's not like those rays of the sun are going, oh, I'm not touching that one. It had Coca-Cola in it.
They have rag and bone men that go around and collect up aluminium cans to recycle them. I could probably give these guys twice what they're getting for their aluminium cans for each perfect can that hasn't been crushed.
Right.
Yeah, no wrinkles.
And it would save me an absolute fortune because I wouldn't have to buy it full. But it wouldn't be half the amount of fun.
I hear you.
You know, with every scientific improvement, there comes a burden. Although drinking lots of beer is not really much of a burden. It's more of a mission in life for me, but each their own.
God.
Hey, guys, here, we went through all this with pretty much no break. Got a few things here that I took off way back in another radio network's time there. This was actually June of 2013, and it was Shaziz. And I was surprised. He was saying pretty much the same thing he's been trying to do, and I know he wouldn't go through a show without advertising virtual labs and the children's, by gosh, children's future. And the other one there, where there's nothing we can't do to get if we put our minds together. Let me play those two things here, and then we'll be back, and we'll take a little break in the meantime. That's basically really not all that long. It's about right about a minute and a half together, both of them. I'm gonna play both of those. I've been wanting to play them all the way through. So just for Shaziz, we're gonna go ahead and drop that in here, and we'll take a listen to that and then come right back. Grab a cup of coffee or something and come back. If we need to play another song, I will. I got another one I'm sure Shaziz will like, and we'll do that.
Everyone has a widget. And so when we put this information in everyone's hands out there, the corporate goons out there that have been bleeding us dry and milking us for every penny and tax that they could possibly get are screwed, because we already got what we need. We don't need their stuff. We are using the talents that were given to us, in my belief, by God himself. The Earth is one massive thermoelectric generator of epic proportions, a self-contained biosphere, the most beautiful piece of machinery / artwork ever in the history of time. And it's ours. It's ours. Together, we can do amazing things. This is where I'm coming from, and I'm pretty sure that most of the folks listening agree. What do you think?
And with that said, here's the Birds, Turn, 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 dedicated to Shaziz. Get well soon, bub. We miss you.
Everything turn, turn, turn. There is
Good old memory blast from the past with a good lesson. Basically what we've been talking about. And do we got everybody back in here? Have you got your coffee and all there?
Bonjour.
Let's see. We got Thomas. We got Larry. And I know Mitko, he says he's trying not to disturb the rest there. He'll come in there at the end, I imagine. So he's always got some good thoughts to throw in there. But doggone, you know, I think the biggest power and energy in the world is love. It gets and does so much for you. It makes your health go better. People that learn about the energy struggle, learning to stay away from it, live a lot longer. I'm convinced of that. I know. Like I said, I feel like I regret, in a matter of three or four years, man, I reversed. I look 10 years younger. And so I kind of figure myself to be 14 years younger because I lived 4 years during that, you know, that regressing of age and attitude and feeling better. You know what? And I felt better ever since. Till I came here to Granbury and started drinking all this water, which they say you need to boil. My goodness. Well, we're not going to get off on that. We were talking about free energy and like compost and heat and solar and all that kind of stuff. We get back onto that. I think that was a pretty good deal, a good science. Oh, here's my opportunity. Right here. Let's see.
Well, don't everybody talk at once.
Yeah, don't everybody talk at once. Yeah, I had the other mic so you couldn't. Yeah.
If you'd seen what fish do in water, you would boil it.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch all that.
If you sin what fish do in water, you will boil it.
It's got to be that accent. I know millions of people understood you, but you send fish through water and it'll... Oh, if I send fish through water, I won't need to boil it. Right. Yeah. What about that kind of... what are we thinking about aquaponics? I know you like growing things. Is that... or did I miss it?
How do big fish make little fish?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Oh, my. You got to forgive,
buddy. I was going to say, you're not going to get around drinking water that's happened in, so, you know.
Yeah, time to make the pop can heater. drink more beer. I think in Germany, if you're in the Olympics, in Germany and a couple of the places there, if you're going for the Olympics, they prescribe beer. They say you must drink beer, mainly because of the barley and the hops and all the proteins and stuff like that, especially if you're into weightlifting. They prescribe that you drink beer. And one of the beers over there looks like Budweiser can. And it says, it has the same slogan that we got on milk over here. It says, it does a body good. So, make that pop can heater, Bubba. 120, you said?
Something like that.
Over
close
what?
Enough.
I'll ask again, over what period of time?
ASAP.
You're going to be healthy.
I'm going to be big.
I hear you, bro. Doggone, I'm so glad you came on the show. I hadn't heard you in so long, but I already said all that. How's the vertical gardens on the walls and stuff going?
Very slowly. It's a matter of resources and finance, and I don't have a job yet. So, but fortunately today, I was talking to a guy that might give me a job as a chef.
I've heard you talk. You could be a pretty good chef.
Well, you haven't tasted the food I cook.
No, I haven't tasted it. Hey, you're in a third world country. It's great. No,
I'm not in a third world country at all. I'm in a first world country.
Right.
In fact, a first world country is technology developed far beyond most Western countries. Tell me, who has 1 gigabit internet?
I don't even know what I got. All I know is my wireless. The people next door, there's like 6 laptops over there, and they're all playing Facebook games at the same time sometimes, even when I'm broadcasting. It doesn't slow any of us down. So I think I'm doing pretty good.
But internet speed does not make a technology, and it doesn't make a country either. So, I mean, there's benefits and there's deficits, like any country, but Singapore in itself is very safe, but they've got laws for everything, including urinating in elevators, which I've never really actually tried to do, but it's nice to know that people get fined if they do it.
Are those the ones with the big windows all around them?
Does that mean the bars?
Sorry, Larry?
Is that the elevator with the big windows all around it, or just any elevator?
Any elevator in the country. They have a specific law that you...
Oh, we lost you there for a second. You might check your mic connection. It sounds like your mic connection's doing funny.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, that's cool. That's any elevator. Any elevator in the country, you're saying.
Any elevator in the country. You're not allowed to cycle in an underpass. You're not allowed to throw cigarettes on the ground. But personal tax rates in this country are 8 to 15%. In the Republic of Ireland, I was paying up to 52% and then 23% sales tax.
Wow.
Overall, in a year, I calculated I was paying 72% of my wages directly back to the tax office.
We figure here, I think it's you save an eighth of it or a quarter. And if you're in business, you save an eighth or a quarter of your gross. Then you deduct your expenses and all that kind of stuff, the taxes that you would have to do on your expenses. And it's 8.75% sales tax in most states.
Well, we calculated in the Republic of Ireland that we'd have to work till August to pay the tax man. After that, the rest of us are owed.
In Ireland, you were paying how much a gallon for gas? A gallon for gas?
When I was there 2 weeks ago, it was €1.43 per litre for diesel. It was €1.51 for gasoline, petrol.
Right. Anybody in the U.S., basically the euro is what, about $1.30 to $1.50 per euro, and a litre is a quarter of a gallon. So you're paying quite a bit. You're paying over $5 a gallon, $6 a gallon.
Yeah, we're looking at $3.40, right around $3.40 a gallon here.
$3.17 here, so
3.19 here.
Yeah, it went down Sweet. 2 cents since yesterday.
Thomas, apparently they have 900 million euro worth of oil and gas in the Irish seaboard, just off the coast of Ireland. But they're giving it to Shell for free. And
hey, guys, I wasn't paying attention to the time. I gotta play the outro to this and hand it over to the next guys. Sorry I didn't much time to say anything else there. I was getting into what we were talking about. That last 10, 15 minutes flew. So with that, right. Man, I thank each and every one of you for being here, and I've enjoyed it. It's always the Mad Science Show. I wish it was longer. So God bless each and every one of you.
We'll get that happy hour thing sorted out to being the after hours thing like it should have been, and we'll announce that by next week, hopefully. All right. So
I got just enough time to play this. Y'all take care. God bless each and every one of you, you and yours.
Thanks for having us.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Operator, give me the number for 911.